Hi, everyone. On this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, as we move along into the month of August, it's August 3rd, 2012. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spending some time on the radio dial with us. Or I guess I should say some of you are on your computer because we do have streaming audio, and some of you may be listening to the archived programs link. So thank you, God, for the technology that allows our voices to hopefully say something that's encouraging, something that'll draw you into that relationship with Almighty God. Something that will maybe bless you or be used through the Holy Spirit to bring conviction or change or have you ponder or search the scriptures and see if you can validate what we're saying. Just because it's said doesn't mean it's always biblically accurate. And though we pray and trust that we're in the scriptures and we're trying to divide and share God's word according to what he'd want to have communicated, we are flawed. So if you ever hear something that maybe you're not quite sure about, listen to the program again on our archive programs link, or write us or let us know, or maybe you have a topic that you would love for us to talk about. We'll do our best because we've been studying the book of Jude for a number of weeks, and today I think we'll have maybe one or two, who knows.
It's week 8, and I think that it's planned out to be 9 weeks. So yeah, one more, I think.
So one more. One quick announcement. Tomorrow at the Decatur celebration, the Singing Men of GNN will be putting on two presentations. We'll be on the Christian stage, and so get to Decatur, and there'll be all sorts of signs and how it's all working. There will be thousands and thousands of people, but the Singing Men of GNN will be presenting at 2 and 4 p.m. at the Christian stage. They have all sorts of food vendors and activities, and those of you that have been a part of the Decatur celebration in the past know that it's a good old time. Dress appropriately. It's going to be pretty warm, but from 2 and 4 p.m., the Singing Men of GNN will be presenting. And Lord willing, those of you that were tuned in Tuesday and heard Bill Poor's testimony, we're going to see if he has the energy and the strength to sing that song that he wrote that I played over the air, Come and Be a Son. So hopefully he'll have the energy. I know Roger Weisgarver, he stood up last Monday at our Singing Men rehearsal from his wheelchair, and he stood up and narrated a part of a song, King of Kings, that we're going to be singing. So it's great to see God bringing healing and strength to Roger's legs and to his body, and he's progressing along slowly but surely, but he's going to try to stand while he does that presentation, and he'll sing along with us.
He had something about he's walked like 1.76 miles last week or something. Yeah. On this walking machine or in therapy, so it was like, yay, God.
Yeah, he's finally getting a little more strength in the legs where he can stand just for a little while. He still has his automated wheelchair, but he's starting to use a little more of his limbs and his arms, and he's been singing with us on a regular basis each and every Monday night, so come on out tomorrow at 2 or 4 p.m. and enjoy an afternoon at the Decatur Celebration. You can find out more about that whole big event if you want to stop by their website, DecaturCelebration.com, DecaturCelebration.com. Well, if you were tuned in Wednesday, Jason and I prayed up after the program that, especially from Jason's point of view, it was a little choppy. We were running out of time. We had so many different announcements, or at least I did, and then I got him energized because I wanted to say, Jason, why should people go to the Creation Museum with us, and why should they, you know, entertain the idea of knowing the biblical narrative well, especially the book of Genesis? Why is that foundational and fundamental? And we talked about some things and some tangent discussions, and then suddenly we wanted to talk about the Chick-fil-A situation, and I wanted to encourage people to come out on Wednesday, and I did get to see a number of our Great News Radio listeners and treat them to beverages and enjoy that good chicken sandwich at the Illini Union on Wednesday. But we were in the thick of talking about the importance of why God has created man and woman and has literally created the concept of marriage, and why it's important, why it's biblical, why it's God's design, why it's fundamentally laid out in Genesis, the foundational book for our belief systems and the redemptive plan that he's laid out, and how important that narrative is. And so anyways, we just started talking about it, and then we had to close out because SRN News won't wait. So we had to close out abruptly. And anyways, he felt a little discouraged. He's like, oh, Mark, I had a lot more that I could have said or wanted to say. Anyway, so I said at the front end, Jason, are you available on Friday? And we can talk a little more and fit in our discussion on Jude and talk maybe a little more about some of the different events that are happening in our lives. And he said, I'm willing to do the Friday edition of Mark and Friends with you. So thank you, Jason, for being faithful. Hey, quickly, I know I'm derailing you already, but give us a sneak preview on your Sunday message, because those of you that have been tuned in for a period of time, Pastor Jason Schiffo is the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois, right on Route 47. What's the official address? Because you're between 72 and 74. I tell people it's on Route 47, but what's that road that's right there on the corner of Route 47 and then your church?
Yeah, it's 102 West Riverbend Boulevard, 102 West Riverbend Boulevard, and that's right off of 47. If you're on 47 heading out of Mahomet, out towards, I believe that's what, Route 10 out there and that, you'll see us right there on the right-hand side there.
Yeah. So anyways, get on 150. You can basically get on 150 and head south, or get on Springfield Avenue, Route 10, and head north, and it's about 4 miles either way. It's right in the middle there, between 72 and 74.
My wife would tell you that asking me directions is not a good idea, which is what you just did.
Between Route 10 and Route 150 on Route 47. And church services are 10:45, but you have Sunday school class beforehand.
Yeah, there's a Christian education hour that begins at 9:30, so 9:30 to 10:30, and then 10:45. And during that Christian education hour is when they do fellowship. They have coffee and donuts and things like that. So it's a great time. We'd love to have people come out and get equipped and get encouraged. I tell folks, just relentless in our pursuit of teaching the Bible. And this week we're going to start a new series of teachings. It's going to be 4 weeks. It came out of Jude, and Jude was a pretty heavy thing. Normally when I teach, which I like to do like build, and then they call it a breathe, where you have like three sermons which are a little heavier, and then you have one that kind of allows people to just take a moment and reflect, to take a moment and go, ah, and rest in the fact that they're following Jesus. And a lot of the books of the Bible, in fact, most of them tend to work well with that. But Jude was like a jackhammer from, you know, verse 1 all the way until you get to verse 23. Jude is just like relentless. So we're going to have a little bit lighter of a series. It's on prayer, and we're going to – I just have been thinking about how prayer is such an underused resource in our Christian life. And when it is used, you know, oftentimes I think we pray prayers that we think that God can handle. You know, we pray prayers and we go, well, I want to pray this because, you know, God will probably answer this. But I don't know if God will answer the thing I really want to ask for, because that's a big prayer. I mean, that's huge. I mean, that is just – that's a prayer that I don't know who could answer. And yet I wonder, why aren't we praying prayers that specifically do need divine intervention? Prayers that – I mean, you have a God who can do immeasurably more than you can know and imagine. Well, then your prayer falls – your biggest prayer falls short. God can do all things. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think we sell God kind of short in our prayers. We inject far too much of our humanity. So we're going to be challenged to learn about what prayer is for the first week and the second week. And then we're going to specifically delve into some application, praying for marriage and praying for our kids, because I think that those are two areas where prayer can be incredibly powerful, incredibly positive, and incredibly life-changing. You know, it's interesting. I think that we are, I don't want to give away any of the message because I wrote a lot of it the other day. I think that we're formed a lot by how we pray and who prays for us. I think that the things that happen in your life, Mark, and the things that have happened in this radio ministry are mainly driven by people's prayers for
right,
you.
Right.
Your own prayers, but their prayers for you. Therefore, I think that we think prayer is kind of just a thing, when prayer is the thing. Because prayer is kind of the rudder on our boat that guides us, and other people who are, I don't know, who are praying into that. I mean, the greatest things in my life come from things that people have prayed for me, that on the back end people have go, oh, yeah, I was praying for months for that for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so sometimes I think that, A, we only pray a little bit instead of praying incessantly and praying without ceasing. And then sometimes I think we also pray very small prayers instead of praying prayers that God can handle. Somehow we think, well, God can't handle that one. Well, God can handle anything.
And I think it was a couple months back we had that author on, Mark, I can't think of his last name,
Patterson,
and he talked
yeah.
about prayer circles.
Yeah, and that book drove a lot of my going into this message, mainly just the idea of, are we circling our prayers? You know, and almost like circling the wagons, almost like, you know, fortifying, revisiting. You know, this idea of circling around something means you're perpetually moving around it, you're perpetually on it, you're thinking about it. I mean, I don't think we pray like that. I think that oftentimes as Christians, we don't. Mark used an example that I loved. He said, we don't pray those as long as it takes prayers. We pray like in the moment and that's it. You know, mm-hmm. we give God like a amount of time. We go, well, God, I'm going to pray this one this week. And if you don't do it, I guess it's an unanswered prayer. And unanswered prayers are simply prayers that we have not prayed enough time into.
Right.
So.
Well, look forward. That's 1045 at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, right off of Route 47. And what's that other road?
River Bend Boulevard.
But you get on Route 47, depending on whether you're coming from Springfield Avenue, head north. If you're coming from 150, head south. And it's right in the middle there.
The big red roof.
And it's on the west side of the road, right there on Route 47. Well, Jason, I had lunch this past Sunday with the Bear Chair and Budget Tours, two nicknames both these guys got because of their involvement in trips to Israel. And I know you're going to be helping to facilitate and lead our trip to Israel in March of 2013. But those guys were kidding me, saying, you don't give Jason enough time to share. And this past Monday when I was solo doing the program, I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to say Jason's in the studio, and I'm just going to have a picture of you right there where you stand and then just pretend like it's just like a normal broadcast. But, whoops, sorry, Jason, don't have any time for you today. But we do have a few minutes, and I know that you've been loving the book of Jude just because it brings great conviction and truth, and it's just core to our belief systems. Much of what Jude has to share and say is foundational from the book of Genesis. And so quickly, why is it important to be studying the book of Jude for such a time as this?
Jude makes connections to things that I think we see are happening socially and politically, culturally, and things that we are even seeing happening communally. I mean, Jude says there will be divisional arguments that will happen amongst you. I mean, and that there will be trouble. I mean, there will be scoffers that will follow their own ungodly desires. These men will divide you. They are men who follow their mere instincts, who do not have the Spirit. Jude could be a commentary almost to where we're at. I mean, like I said a number of weeks ago, I found it interesting that in the first three ancient examples that Jude gives, the third example lands in the topic of the existence of hell and sexual immorality, which are two of the hottest topics, not connected to each other right now, but two of the hottest evangelical topics. I mean, people are arguing about these in scholarly circles and just normal church circles. You know, what do we do about sexual immorality and does hell exist and how is a loving God, does a loving God send people to hell? And I mean, so there is quite a bit of things happening in terms, and Jude's speaking to all these things, and Jude is, what I love is that Jude says right away, he tells his readers why he wrote the letter, and he says, I sent this to you to urge you to contend for the faith. And there are some of us who don't understand that contending for the faith, so that faith that you was, says once and for all entrusted to the saints, that faith that you receive, that faith that you have, now you have to contend for it. So those of us who go like, I don't understand, I mean, why is the Christian life so tough sometimes? Well, Jude lays it out right there. He says, well, you're going to have to contend for this faith that you hold on to. You know, but the good news is, as we study this next week together, we gather together again on the radio, says that to him who is able to keep you from falling. So while we contend, we know that Jesus is right there with us. So Jude has much to say about what's happening now and just the truth. I mean, I think that we are falling into a time right now where we are very intolerant of the truth. We don't have a tolerance for the truth. I mean, we want our truth, not the truth. And we want to find any way, shape, or form to put the Bible in the back seat and not have to talk about it. And one of my favorite passages comes out of Matthew chapter 16. And you know what I tell people all the time? I said, I think when I read Jesus, he's very funny. I mean, I read a Jesus. I mean, a lot of people, Jesus is very stoic. And Jesus is always very, you know, he's always like, oh, last will be first and first will be. I mean, Jesus is always very stoic. And I don't think so. When I read that, I think Jesus was very witty and very funny. Because I think that God is very witty and funny. I mean, how many of us, God's done something in our lives and we looked and we go, God, gosh, you have such a sense of humor. I mean, the way you do things, the way you orchestrate things. But in Matthew chapter 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to Jesus to test him. And they ask him, they say, show us a sign from heaven. And Jesus looks at him and he goes, You know, when evening comes, I'm going to paraphrase. He says, when evening comes, you say, oh, it's going to be fair weather because, look, the sky is red. And then when the morning comes, you say, oh, today I think it's going to storm because the sky is red and overcast. And Jesus says, you know how to look at the sky and notice the appearance of the sky, but you can't interpret the sign of the times. And what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, he's going, you know, as silly and simple as your weather-determining skills are, your theology is even worse. And I think that we've got quite a few folks, unfortunately, who are doing just that. They're going, oh, the sky is red, we ought to do this. Oh, now the sky is red in this, and we ought to still do this. And they're not going to the Bible. They're not going to God's Word so they can be theologically strong. I mean, you know, I think that it's Ray Stedman who said Christians are like divers in triple-ply suits with the latest, greatest deep-diving apparatus, oxygen tanks that are able to plunge to the depths of the sea, and we endeavor to pull the plugs out of bathtubs. and I read that, and I hear Ray Stedman do that, and I go, oh, you are so right, you know, and 2 inches thick and a mile wide. I mean, it's just, it's unfortunate. But Jude says in chapter 1, and there's only one chapter, in verses 17 through 19, he says, but dear friends, remember that the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. In verse 4, Jude says, certain men have slipped in. In verse 8, he says, these dreamers. Then in verse 10, he says, these men. Verse 11, he says, them. Verse 12, these men. Verse 14, these men. Verse 16, these men. And then the text makes a huge shift to where we are today when it says, but you, dear friends.
But you.
And Jude only refers back one more time in verse 19. He says, these are the men. And then he comes right back again in verse 20 and says, but you, dear friends. So this letter now transitions to you and to I, and this being a universal letter. But when I read that, I looked back and I said, wow, let's look at the church as a whole. And let's go back to Acts chapter 2, you know, when the church was born at Pentecost. And this was a young, vibrant, exciting, pure church. I mean, this church had endless possibilities. Peter gets up and he preaches the gospel and 3,000 people come to faith that day. I mean, imagine at your church, the church you attend, say you've got, you know, who knows how many people you have attending there, but say that one day 3,000 people, you know, your pastor does an altar call and 3,000 people storm the stage, you would be out of your mind. You would be like bonkers singing hallelujah. I mean, you'd have tears in your eyes. So this was a pure and powerful church. This is a growing church, and it was a productive church. I envision that this church was probably a very exciting place to be. I mean, when we read Acts chapter 2, it says they met all the time in the houses and they broke bread. I mean, you didn't have to remind people that it was small group night. They just showed up, mm-hmm. and they brought bread and wine. And this was a church that was driven by the truth. It was filled with faithful people, overflowing with love, displaying generosity, and they were reaching out in passion for the lost. And there was a powerful sense of God and God's hope present in this first church. And this church, as we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, says that they were deeply influenced by the teaching of the truth, the preaching of the truth, and the writing of the apostles of Jesus, whom many of them were discipled by. And so there was a purity and there was a passion, there was an exhilaration in this church. But now think with me. Even in those early days of the apostles, they were given by the Holy Spirit this privilege to look into the future. They were allowed to see something that was absolutely nuts. The Holy Spirit allowed them to see that many people and many churches would depart from the very truth that they got together within their homes to break bread over and wrestle together. I mean, they heard when the Holy Spirit illuminated to them, yeah, Jesus is going to return and the world would be judged and believers would be raptured. And there would be an eternal future glory, and heaven and earth would come back together, and the kingdom of God would be there, and Jesus would reign on the throne, that the church would grow, and the church would flourish, and that people would depart from the truth. Not all, but some. And can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in a young and vibrant church where you're growing and exploding, you're wrestling the truth, you're with people who actually walked with Jesus, and then somebody goes, yeah, Holy Spirit told me that things are going to get really bad, that there's going to be a departation from the truth. There's going to be people who think that Jesus' words are just kind of this. You know, they're going to pull Jesus' words apart to what they don't even mean. They're going to try and take who Jesus is and twist it into something that Jesus is not. They're going to try and determine the weather instead of knowing the truth. And so a big shock to this early church was that people would depart from the truth. You know, 25 years after Jude wrote this letter, John's in a cave in the Isle of Patmos, and he receives a letter from Jesus via the Holy Spirit to seven churches in Asia Minor. And those are the letters that we see in Revelation chapter 3 and 4. I mean, we're not even out of the first century yet. We're not even out of the first century. And already we know that these seven churches are going to depart from the truth. The Ephesian church will lose its first love. The church at Pergamum will be full of corruption and immorality. The church at Thyatira will become wicked. Jesus even threatens to kill some of them. The Sardis church is totally dead, murdered by the apostates who divided the truth. And the church at Laodicea makes Jesus so sick that he wants to spit them out of his mouth. And once more, this church is lukewarm. You're in a church at Pentecost where 3,000 people have just come to faith, and you're going, wait a second, there's going to be a church full of people who are lukewarm? There's going to be a church full of people where Jesus is knocking on the door because he's not in the church? I mean, can you imagine? That would blow your mind. You'd go, no, I don't even believe it. I don't buy it. There's no way that can happen. I mean, there's no way. And yet we know that at the end of the first century, it did happen. It didn't take that long at all. You know, none of us, when we're at the altar, think that our marriage will suffer. None of us, when we're in the delivery room at the hospital holding our newborn baby, contemplate the bedroom doors they'll be slamming when they hit their teenage years. And no one in the early church ever thought that it would be like that. But Jude says, dear friends, remember what the apostles foretold us. You have to remember this. And what Jesus is saying is, remember the truth. It's interesting. The fact that we have churches that are departing from the truth bolsters the fact that Scripture is true, because Scripture said that it would happen. Scripture said that people would depart and leave the truth, that people would argue about the existence of hell, that people would delve into sexual immorality and try to redefine what marriage is and what love is and what life is. The Bible says this will happen. The Bible actually says, look, it'll get really hard for those of us who follow the Bible. So the truth tells us that people will depart from the truth. You know, and we only got like a minute, and there's so much you could say on this, but I would just say this, that, you know, God's word never returns void. It always accomplishes the mission from which it was sent. And, you know, God's word goes out into some of the deepest, darkest places. Places where the truth is being thrown away, places where the truth is being departed from, places where the truth is being sold off part and parcel. And it does not return void. God's word always accomplishes the mission from which God sent it. Mm-hmm. And God may be sending his word into your heart today to revive and reconcile and resurrect the truth that you already know deep down in your heart. So friend, today, if you hear the truth, grab a hold of the truth. Get on your knees and ask Jesus to reveal to you the truth today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jason Schiffo, co-host of the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and many times as much as I can get him into the studio joining me. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.